Ladies and gentlemen, this is Tony Katz Tonight.
There's total madness across America right now, running through the streets, throughout your social media landscape, with everybody under the sun wanting to throw Stephen Colbert off the air, or wanting to defend Stephen Colbert from those who want to throw him off the air. It is total madness, and everybody needs a drink. Because everyone is wrong. I have never seen so many people so completely wrong about such a simple subject. Stephen Colbert, the guy from Comedy Central, the guy who pretends to be a conservative every night, and I think some people actually believe he is. They believe, they're convinced, totally convinced that he's a conservative. They don't understand that this is an act and he's full of crap. That he's full of crap. That he has tried to put his imprint on politics to the best of his ability. He does very well on college campuses. His sister ran for Congress and lost. He's tried a PAC. He's tried to do all sorts of things. But everybody got upset when he used Asian Americans. He mocked Asian Americans in what was intended as an anti-racist jibe. This, according to Yahoo, that's I'm using them just to make sure I have the exact thing that got said. Because what he was doing on his show was trying to go after Dan Snyder, the owner of the Redskins, for keeping the name the Redskins, because, you see, that's the most offensive thing, according to whoever's outraged today. Yesterday it was something else. Tomorrow it'll be Save the Whales or what have you. Today it's the Redskins. So on his Twitter account and on the show, his show, he said, I am willing to show the Asian community, because he's got these people who are unbelievably upset about the term the Redskins. And Dan Snyder has said he would fund, he would create a fund to support Native Americans, but he wasn't going to change the name of the Redskins, right? I'll support Native Americans, but this is the name and this is the marketing, this is the brand that's been this way for X number of years, and it's going to be this way until I die. I'm Dan Snyder. I've got more money than you. So Colbert puts out a thing via his Colbert Report Twitter account, which is not run by him, it's run by Comedy Central. And he says, I'm willing to show the Asian community I care by introducing the Ching Chong Ding Dong Foundation for sensitivity to Orientals or whatever. He's trying to make light of what Dan Snyder's doing. Well, you would have thought that he actually killed a puppy on live television. People went crazy, completely out of their minds. They can't believe he would say such a thing. And you've got people putting out the hashtag cancel Colbert. Couple of things need to get said to the people who want to cancel him and to the people who are defending him. Not everything is malice, though there are some things that are stupid. By the way, stupid, I only go by dictionary definitions when I talk about stupid or dumb. They're characterized by or proceeding from mental dullness, foolish, or senseless. It was stupid. That's problem one with the idea of this. We already saw from Rosie O'Donnell years back when she decided that the way you sounded like you were speaking Chinese or Japanese was to say ching chong, ching chong, ching chong. Those are her words, not mine. Don't even write me an email. I mean, you can, Tony at WIBC.com. But don't write me an email. I'm not interested. I'm not interested in you saying, how dare you? I'm telling a story, kids. If everything is offensive, then nothing is offensive. You got to take this stuff from who it comes, and that does not mean to sit idly by and say, oh, it's a comic being a comic. Oh, well, it's like saying, you know, when Sarah Silverman does her stuff about abortion or conservatives or Republicans, it's not, oh, she's a comic, she can get away with it. It's, oh, she's a comic and she's not funny. When she's funny, I say so. When she's not funny, we should also say so. And there is nothing that is more destructive to a comic than telling them they're not funny. They'll tell you that you don't get it. They'll invent every reason in the world why you're the problem. But a comic being told they're not funny, nobody laughing, a dead room, oh, that will stick with them and will lead to the drinking problem. For the people who want to cancel Colbert, you got to be tactical about these things because you're so reactionary. You're so reactionary. You claim that the other side, you claim that if we want to talk about this, about the right and the left, that progressives and liberals are always so offended by everything. So why shouldn't you be offended by everything? Because that's not always the right answer. It's not the right tactic. Do you really gain anything, anything from canceling Colbert Report because they put this out? They put out, I'll read it to you again. In reference to Dan Snyder, who has announced a fund to support Native Americans while rejecting calls to change the name Redskins, because he's the owner of the Washington Redskins, Colbert said, "I am willing to show the Asian community I care by introducing the Ching Chong Ding Dong Foundation for Sensitivity to Orientals or whatever." So my question is, do you gain anything, even though he said that? Though you might disagree with that, though you might not like it, though you might think it is all the things you think it is, do you really gain anything from him being canceled? And the answer is, of course not. But do you gain something from mocking him and his show and his network for not being funny? Hell yeah. Isn't that the win? That's the ball game. The network is Comedy Central. Not Chuckles Central, not maybe a laugh Central, Comedy Central. The network wasn't funny. The show, The Colbert Report, which is all about trying to see if it can win an Emmy instead of The Daily Show, wasn't funny. It hurts them a lot more to know that they weren't funny than some nonsense cancel Colbert hashtag that they can mock when you don't get anywhere near your ridiculous goal. You're not going to get anywhere near it. So why are you trying? What's the point? Where's the value in that? The only thing worse, by the way, than wanting to ban this, than wanting to get them thrown off the air, is all the people who are defending it. Like Talking Points Memo, a leftist-leaning website, which says people who don't realize the Colbert Report is satire want it canceled over Asian joke. Talking Points Memo sucks. That we must be clear at least about this. It's trash wrapped in fish wrap stuff with loose stool. It is the worst of the worst of the worst. They're bad people writing bad articles and completely incapable of recognizing where they are in the game. It's satire. So? It wasn't funny. Oh, it's satire. You don't get it. Well, I get it. I don't think we should take him off the air for it. But it wasn't funny. You see, that's the thing with satire. It takes a different kind of mind. Okay, but the people who watch Comedy Central and those, you know, the people who provide the ratings and buy the products that could advertise on those shows, they want funny. And it wasn't funny. But yet here you have a leftist rag wanting to defend what everybody knows wasn't funny. If this was your point, you know, you were trying to make a point that Dan Snyder is somehow living in a double standard fantasy world because he's funding he's creating a fund for Native Americans but won't change the name of the Redskins. Okay, listen, if that's it, that's it. But can't you say to that level of satire, that's not really funny? All right. You went for something. It didn't really hit. That's the life of a comic. You'll deal with the crickets, and you better move on to that next joke. You only got 15 seconds. I mean, check the tape recorder. You weren't very funny. How many laughs did you get? How many laughs? If it was good enough for Rodney Dangerfield to tell comics that you got to take a tape recorder with you and you got to listen to your set and ask yourself how many laughs you got and in what time frame did they come in? Did you get a laugh every 10 to 15 seconds? If not, you're not a comic. You didn't kill if you got two laughs. You need a laugh constantly and consistently. Talking Points memo trying to back up this trash. It's satire. You're just not smart enough to get it. We laugh at other things. We were smart enough to get it then. This wasn't funny. Both sides are wrong and just being ridiculous. More ahead. This is Tony Katz tonight.
If you need reliable, high-quality video production, look no further than PrimeImageMedia.com. PrimeImageMedia.com provides promotional videos, training videos, and conference and event coverage nationwide. Get a high-quality, consistent look to your corporate videos with the most reliable video company in the country. Visit PrimeImageMedia.com today to learn more. Mention Tony Katz and get 10% off your first production. That's PrimeImageMedia.com. PrimeImageMedia.com.
So it's madness. Everyone's got to stop being so unbelievably offended. Take a breath and ask yourself, does it help? I really do wish people would start thinking just a little bit tactically. A little bit about what it means to them, what it does for them. How does it help them? To just scream into the wind, cancel Colbert. That's not happening, folks. That is exactly like all the people who said cancel Duck Dynasty. Not a little bit. Exactly. Not a little bit. I mean, you could disagree with me. 317-239-9393. I welcome that. Let me go to the phones really quick here. Mark, line one, welcome to Tony Katz tonight. What's up, Mark?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that it reminds me of the TV show All in the Family with Carol O'Connor portraying himself as Archie Bunker. In real life, Carol O'Connor was a liberal, but he tried to make conservatives look bad in that show. And that's something like Colbert is doing, you know.
Well, I mean, wait, what is old is new again, and I never said that Colbert was original by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
And Archie Bunker's always a good reference. But we don't gain anything. Nobody gains by canceling him. That the
right.
Automatic push to try and fire people, get people fired who you don't like, you disagree with, doesn't help. It not only are you petty, if that's the case, because no one's allowed to have a different point of view than you, or no one's allowed to make fun of you. Get a sense of humor. But when something isn't funny, it's okay to say that wasn't funny. Was it offensive? I'm sure many people found it offensive. Was it meant to be offensive? Clearly not. That doesn't fit anything about him. But the real tactical move was to say, I ain't funny. Loser joke. Only the worst in a society would find that funny. You know? And then mock his response with other types of responses to show how pathetic it was. He's trying to prove this great point about his mind, and he fell flat. That's the story, and I appreciate the phone call, Mark. But that's the story. And we have people who are so quick to be offended, so quick to be disgusted. Now, you could say to me, hey, Tony, if that joke was about you, maybe you'd think differently. The answer is it's possible, but is it probable? And I would say to you, I would put forth to you that I spend a fair amount of time in my day thinking about the concept of tactics, how you go about something. And it didn't come naturally to me. It came from years of studying and learning and recognizing, hey, this isn't working for me or the people who I work with or the people I want to see be successful. This isn't working. And I think it's all goes back to this culture war conversation that you hear me having a lot. What does it mean? What does culture war actually mean? When you boil it down, what do you get to? And part of it is this recognition that you take the moments that are handed to you, and before you just gut check react, ask yourself, what is the best use of this moment? I mean, that's, you might think that's a little cold or something. You might think that's a little sinister. I think that that's smart. Let me take it from an Andrew Breitbart perspective, if I can, the late great Andrew Breitbart. If he had the goods on somebody, it didn't all get dropped. Oh, okay, here's everything. No. What got dropped was just enough to make them try and deny it, to when he dropped a little bit more to make them look like a bigger fool. That, you don't think that was tactics? That was incredible tactics and very, very smart. And you take a look at the mainstream press, who had never had to deal with this before, because what do they know from really dealing with competition? Their competition were the other two networks, and they didn't fight that way. Now the competition is all the cable networks under the sun and the internet. I do a radio show. I do a radio talk show, and I'm also live streaming. So you can watch this show over at TonyKatz.com. Get it on YouTube, etc. You can see the program. You can be a part of it in that way. So I'm able to respond in video and in real time every single night. And then I can drop this, and then the next day I can do something else, and the next day I can do something else. They're not used to that. They're not used to that level of response, that rapid response, that quickness. So they assume that when you put something out there, you've put it out there. They don't assume you're holding anything back. Now, maybe they assume it, right? Now, maybe they assume that when you put something out there, you might have something else in reserves. That you might have something else that you will bring to their attention when you feel like it. Never assume that it's done. I don't see anything wrong with tactics. I don't see anything wrong with putting together a plan. When Rush Limbaugh called Sandra Fluck a name, it was not an organic push to boycott his sponsors. That plan was in a drawer, and that people waited for the moment, figuring he would say something wrong one day. I mean, you talk every single day. The odds might be against you. The more that you speak, the odds that you might say something inappropriate or use the wrong language or say X when you mean Y, it grows exponentially. Every day you're talking for 3 hours, odds are something might slip. So why not have a plan in a drawer? Why not have something ready to go at a moment's notice? Why not have that ready? So they had it ready. Now, I don't think it ever dawned on them. I don't think they'd ever thought they'd get the field day of name calling of Sandra Fluck. But when they got it, they said, holy crap, it's Christmas, and we don't believe in any of that nonsense religion, nutso stuff. And they went to town. Tactic. And all I want is for people to start thinking in that regard. Are some things just inherently wrong? Some things require no thought whatsoever? Absolutely. Absolutely. Colbert saying something daft or ignorant on his show? Why didn't we have a plan in a drawer for knowing that it would eventually come? It's a good learning lesson. It's one of those teachable moments that they like to tell us about. More ahead. This is Tony Katz Tonight.
If you need reliable, high-quality video production, look no further than PrimeImageMedia.com. PrimeImageMedia.com provides promotional videos, training videos, and conference and event coverage nationwide. Get a high-quality, consistent look to your corporate videos with the most reliable video company in the country. Visit PrimeImageMedia.com today to learn more. Mention Tony Katz and get 10% off your first production. That's PrimeImageMedia.com. PrimeImageMedia.com.
Good song. So, for the mothers, the actual mothers, not, you know, them, not the others. Gwyneth Paltrow, I've been talking. It seems constantly like she is on this subject, and I don't know if I think I brought this up yesterday, but I didn't get to ask any of the moms what they thought of this insanity. I've written about Gwyneth Paltrow, this whole idea of the conscious uncoupling. By the way, the number 317-239-9393, 239-9393. It is still bothering me to this day, the conscious uncoupling comment, and how cold and clinical and just disingenuous it is. And people, they're saying that this is a real thing, and it really helps keep the family unit together. Oh, horse crap. It's a divorce. It's a divorce. You're not somehow doing your kids better by not telling them. We had a conscious uncoupling. Is that supposed to spare them from the term divorce? Dad still doesn't live in the house, or mom doesn't live in the house, and mom's with some new guy. I think they can figure it out. If you really believe that the wordplay here is what's going to save you, we're not doing anything, you know, like that. We're just really growing and evolving as people. That's who we are. We've always known that you know, when it comes to others, we're just ahead of them. We're just more advanced, and you know, even in this, and we've both grown so much, just in different ways. That's all we've done, is we've grown in different ways. There's nothing wrong with that. There's no crime in that. There is no crime in growing in different ways. And now we're going to continue that growth in different ways, but still, we're going to make sure that we're the best co-parents that any two people can be, because we love our children so, so, so much. And so with this growth that we've had, just really this coming out of who we are as people, we're going to be even better for our kids with this conscious uncoupling. That's all we're doing, which is code for I'm gonna bang other guys. Gwyneth, do I have it wrong? Do I have it wrong? I ask you. But that's not the part that I needed the mothers for. It was the idea that she says that moms who work 9-to-5 jobs have it easier, because she's on the set, and because she's got to do this, and she's got to spend 2 weeks away. And it's not like she could just, you know, have the routine of dropping them off in the morning. And what happens if she's late to drop them off or late to pick them up, with all the other things in her very hectic life? You know, as she has grown as a person, there are these stresses. I'm evolving to accept the stresses, but there are just so many. The combined net worth, the one number I read, was $280 million. Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin. She doesn't have to work. She could decide to put her family first. She could decide at least to put her kids first and never have a moment where she is on set in Wisconsin. Her words, not mine. Wisconsin, as if somehow Wisconsin is the problem, or is a problem place, or is a place you wouldn't want to be. And working those 14-hour days. Every mother out there works more than a 14-hour day. That's just the gig, kids. But she doesn't have to go do this job. How come her growth as a person didn't make her say to herself, just asking, I'm not saying it has to, I'm asking, why didn't her own personal growth lead her to the direction of, I have a ton of money, I'm not going to work. Forget that. I'm raising these two. Don't get me wrong. Every now and then, I'm going to take a trip to Starbucks for 3 hours because I just need a breather away from the kids. I think every mother and every father understands that feeling. But you can't sit here and tell us, in her words, it's much harder for me. You can't do that to people. So I had wanted to hear from some moms. I wanted to hear what their thoughts were as to when you hear these politicos, not even politicos, these elites, because to me it's all one and the same. Elitist is elitist is elitist, which is exactly the part that's driving me mental. That's the part that's driving me nuts. Elitism on elitism on elitism. That they first utilize a wordplay to make themselves believe that they're above it all. And then they go about doing interviews to tell you they're above it all and above you. You have a tough mom whose husband's working two jobs. Our own Paige, who's with us Monday through Thursday, she's got a baby. Her husband comes home from work. She goes to work. How many families does that happen with across America? Gwyneth Paltrow, it's much harder for her. It is beyond contemptible. I want to talk to her about it. How can you say that with a straight face? Does that mean she should be told she's not allowed to make a movie again? Of course not. It means that you should point and laugh and remind her she's adult. For her to actually come out and say this, to push the idea that somehow her life is difficult. Ashley, I know you come from a lot of money.
Oh yes, I have a room and we swim in it like Scrooge McDuck.
I didn't want to mention the fact that you also have a lot of pet ducks.
We do. We spend our money on pet ducks, actually.
The question is, with all of the funds that you have, don't you think that it would be best if you just, you know, didn't work for a while and then was able to raise those kids, and that way it wouldn't be so hard on you?
Me personally, or
yeah,
or
you. You. If you were Gwyneth Paltrow, and you had a combined net worth of $280 million, don't you? And it's California that they live in; it's a communal state. I mean, I think she gets half of that. I'm not sure how it works, wouldn't you say to yourself, "I'd probably be better off if it's so tough on me, if it's so difficult on me to have to go and do this acting thing."
Wouldn't it be better for you not to act? If I were her, I would weigh my career versus the lives of my family and my children. And if I thought that, let me try this again. If I were her, I would take that time off to be with my children and my husband to prevent something like this from happening. If it were preventable, you know, I know that a lot of times couples have issues stemming from different things, but if I were her and I was clearly financially secure, I would take some time off from my craft to spend it with my children, because you can always make a movie later. Her mother is, I believe, in her 70s, Blythe Danner, and continues to act.
And does osteoporosis commercials.
Yes, she's fantastic. Fantastic in those osteoporosis commercials. But I think Gwyneth will never get that time back that she's missing out on spending with her children.
Well, one of the things that I've learned from elitists is that they don't seem too bothered by that part particularly, although she might be, and I could be proven wrong there. But they all live under the delusion, a delusion that I think was instilled in them by the pseudo concept of feminism, the false notion of feminism as opposed to what it means to be a strong woman, being different things there. And what Gloria Steinem did to an entire generation of women, lying to their face. This idea that you can have it all. No. And that goes for everybody. Believe it or not, it also goes for men. Now, yes, it's true. Men cannot have babies. This is medical fact. And if you want to try and crucify men for this fact regarding women in the workplace and quote unquote pay disparities and taking time off and sacrifices of career to create family, the answer is nothing I can do about it. Stop blaming me. But even men sacrifice something in the main. There might be a couple who have it all have been able to do everything they wanted, never had a financial worry, never stayed up late at night wondering how they were going to feed the family, never woke up in a cold sweat, never wondered if this was the moment they were going to have a heart attack because they couldn't afford X, Y, or Z, never had to come home and explain how they can't do the vacation this year, never had to work overtime when it was going to be the one date night that month with their wife. Oh my goodness! The idea that somehow she is suffering is insulting to people who work hard and is insulting to the idea that somehow we have allowed people to believe the nonsense notion that you can have it all. Part of the grand experiment of life is about what is it that you really want? Trying things, oh, I'm all in favor. I am in favor of trying everything under the sun. But what do you really want? You know, in a way, it's why I don't believe in moderates. I don't believe in political moderates. I don't believe in people who say things like, well, I try to listen to both sides. I listen to both sides as well. Sometimes there's three sides. I listen to them all. And then I make a decision. Because that's what it's all about. Not about complaining, oh, woe is me, when your life is pretty damn good. This is Tony Katz Tonight. If you're gonna go overseas, just don't get into a fight with the Pope. It's not even a fight. It's that I don't want to see President Obama coming back or discussing his conversation with Pope Francis, and the two of them have very different accounts of what happened. President Obama says that we didn't talk a whole lot about social schisms in my conversation with His Holiness. But the Vatican issued a statement after the meeting saying the president's discussions with Francis and two other top Vatican officials focus, quote, on questions of particular relevance for the Catholic Church in the United States, such as the exercise of the rights to religious freedom, life, and conscientious objection, which of course is an Obamacare conversation. That's the Hobby Lobby conversation right there. We can't even get this right. It's not okay for everything to end up as a political disaster. You went to go meet the Pope. Why not just say what happened? Yes, we discussed it. Do you think, does President Obama think, oh, God, I don't know what he thinks. Can you imagine what goes through his head on a daily basis? I mean, is he like, wow, cool, I'm going to talk to the Pope. Maybe we're going to be able to work on some things. Or does he say, I can't wait till this meeting's over because I'd really like to check out Rome. I'm not sure which one he does. But is he so not interested in the conversation? Or in his mind, did they not have it? Did it mean so little to him that he forgot about it? Like, did it just roll off him, water off a duck's back, or whatever the expression is? I don't know. I'm not much of a cliche guy, but that one seemed to fit. And he's like, yeah, I'm not going to. We didn't talk too much, which is to say I didn't pay attention too much because I wasn't interested in that whole paying attention thing. That whole thing where he talks and I talk and then he's listening to me and I'm listening to him and we're like, ooh, that's interesting. And hey, maybe you've got a point. Hey, how would we work that? And well, maybe we can work together on that. None of that. None of that. I mean, it's embarrassing. Although Mr. Obama wanted to highlight his bond with Francis over questions of economic inequality and helping the poor, Obamacare's mandate for employers to pay for birth control gained more attention. The president clearly wanted to benefit from the global popularity of the Pope. Their meeting was a highlight of Mr. Obama's foreign trip that ends Friday in Saudi Arabia. Do you remember that when he was running for president there, Ashley, he gave a speech in Germany? This was back in 2008. and the place was packed. Was it into the millions of people who showed up to hear this fresh-faced, new thought process, new school young man who is going to win the presidency and change the world? When he went back to give a speech in Germany, this was last year, they couldn't get a few thousand people to show up. They couldn't get the people. There was a speech that he gave while he's been on this tour, on this tour. And he finished the speech, and out of the entire room, one person started applauding, started clapping, because maybe the rest of them just felt that it wasn't applause worthy. I mean, this is what's happening. He now needs the Pope, the most a-religious human being in the world, Barack Obama. He's a-religious. Well, unless you count love of government, then he is the biggest religious zealot. There is no greater believer than Barack Obama, if we're considering government in the possible list of deities. But he was the guy who brought the crowds. His milkshake brought all the boys to the yard. And now, he needs the Holy See, the leader of the Catholic Church, in order to be seen as somebody who's exciting and relevant. What does that tell us? Exactly how have things changed? And this is what happens. This is what happens. Two reasons why this happens. Number one, people see through the story, because you've had to deliver and you can't. And number two, people have been burned. It's one of two things. People see through it and say, oh yeah, the whole thing about the tides are gonna, they're gonna rise, they're gonna recede, there's gonna be some kind of whirlpool, there's gonna be a bubble, something about water. They didn't do anything, and Guantanamo is still there. He was going to close that. No, it's still there. And then these four guys in Benghazi, he didn't even send help. My goodness. And then up Crimea, up Syria, up Libya, up Egypt. It goes on and on and on and on. And they're like, all right, we can't take it anymore. Or they actually believed this was going to be the Renaissance. This was going to be This was going to be the ushering in of a new day and a new age of more enlightened leaders. No more of these warmongers. No more of these elitist white guys. No, we're going to have one of the people. There's no one more elitist in the United States, nay, in the world, than Barack Obama. Zero, folks. Zero. And people are like, you know what? Burned one too many times. Let down one too many times. Failed one too many times. I'm out of here. And if you're someone who's still trying to be in his corner, what does it say to you when he has a meeting with the Pope and they can't agree on what they talked about? They don't know what they said, different accounts on what was said. They were both in the room. Did nobody have an iPhone where they could do a voice memo? Nobody took notes? Nobody to turn to? It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. That we can't even, from what should be a very simple conversation, even though, yeah, some heavy stuff might get discussed, That we're expecting that. You can't even agree to that? It's embarrassing. The supporters have got to just be questioning why they're still supporters, really. A quick programming note. I am in for Dana Loesch on Monday. I was in today for Dana. We played, of course, over there at WIBC, that great Colts retrospective. But I think we'll be playing me on the Dana show a little bit later. Monday, I am in for Dana, so listen for that. Also, some great guests Monday night. Be sure to be listening. Follow me on Twitter, at Tony Katz, TonyKatz. All the podcasts available for you, TonyKatz.com. My thanks to you all. Monday, everyone, much, much love. Take care.